Hey there everyone, before we get into the show, I just want to shamelessly self-promote coffee.com/mystarwarslifedebt. You can join up as a member, you can do a one-off donation, or you can pick up some of our digital stuff on the merch store, which is right there on coffee.com/mystarwarslifedebt. So, please head on over there, check it out if you want to support the show and the podcast. Thank you very much, guys. Now, let's get on with the show. Hello, and welcome to the Life There podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Roll, and today we're diving into some of the archives because I've pulled up a list of essential Star Wars Rebels episodes to watch before Ahsoka arrives on our screens in 22 days. So, like I said, going into the archives to fish out some old episodes of Rebels Revisited. So, sit back, relax, and listen to some of my reviews of what people are considering the essential Rebels episodes to watch before Ahsoka. But before we do, let's have some business. You can visit the blog at mystarwarslifedebt.com. You can find it on Facebook, facebook.com/lifedebtblogpod. Follow me on Twitter at bloodyorn, BLODYORME. I'm on Instagram, instagram.com/mystarwarslifedebt. And the same with Threads, mystarwarslifedebt.threads.com. Does that sound about right? Well, if you go on Threads, look for mystarwarslifedebt. Add me. Go for it. And if you'd like to get in touch with the blog and podcast, you can head on over to your emails and send something lovely and nice to lifedebtpodcast@outlook.com. And if you would like to contribute and to the upkeep of the blog and podcast, you can do so in two different places. You can head over to coffee.com. That's ko-fi.com/mystarwarslifedebt, where you can either pick up some merch. You've got the you can buy the bonus episodes, the Life Debt Holiday Special, like the Breaking of a Fan, and also the first season of Yub Nubbin, and season two will be on there at some point in the future. You can buy those from coffee.com/mystarwarslifedebt, and you can also donate to the blog and podcast at coffee.com/mystarwarslifedebt. But if you would like to get some bonusy things, guaranteed email reads, ad-free podcast episodes, ad-free blog posts, all of the bonus episodes at your fingertips for £3 a month, you get access to all of that. And that's at patreon.com/mystarwarslifedebt. So, without further ado, let's dive into some Rebels Revisited. Here we go. Hello and welcome to the inaugural episode. of Rebels Revisited with me, Johnny Orme, your host, and this is a Life Debt Rebels podcast. So really, this is going to be like some bite-sized episodes going through some of the, going through every single episode of Star Wars Rebels from season one to season four. No episode left unturned, and this is all part of the Life Debt at Celebration initiative. So this, of course, is only available to Patreon members at the $3 tier and above. Of course, this episode is going out to everyone because
It's a little enticement. So if you like what you hear, then head on over to patreon.com/mystyleslifedebt and sign up for the $3 tier so you can hear this every week. So I started the other day by watching the season one premiere, the two-parter, A Spark of Hope. Now, I watched the two individual episodes because those were the ones that I had available to me at the time, over on Disney Life, the app that's available in the UK. And, you know, when I go back to it, I look at the animation, I think, oh, this is a little blocky, this isn't as great as it was, as you know. Of course, the animation evolves over time, especially between seasons. Every season it gets a little bit better. But the story is just fantastic. I really love the story of this episode. And it's actually got one of my favourite moments from the entire series. Yes, they peaked. So the story is, Ezra is a street rat on the streets of Lothal, and he botches a job that's being pulled by a group of rebels consisting of Kanan, Jarrus, Gara Zebarelios, aka Zeb, and Sabine Wren, and he steals a container of he steals an Imperial container that they were trying to steal, and he gets away from them on this speeder bike. They basically end up chasing him down, as well as the Imperials chasing them down. And in the end, he ends up on their ship, the Ghost, where he meets Hera Syndulla as well. They leave the planet after a brief dogfight with Tyze before returning directly back to the planet because the Ghost has some sort of masking system of their tracker ID so that the Imperials can't basically don't recognize the ship. Ezra is pretty much looking out for himself, and then when they take these containers to a village on Lothal full of people who've been displaced by the Empire, his heart grows a couple of sizes in that moment when they start to thank him for, you know, bringing them this fruit, and he's like, I didn't do anything. But Hera and Kanan take a container full of Imperial E-11 blasters to a crime lord called Visago, who's a Deveronian who only has one horn. And he tells them of an upcoming job, that is essentially to save a group of Wookiees. So they take the job. They go to the location that he gives them, but it turns out when Kanan, Sabine, and Zeb go on board, Ezra and Hera realize it's a trap when an Imperial Star Destroyer arrives, and a team led by Agent Kallus, basically are preparing to board this transport and capture the rebels. Ezra goes on board the transport, warns them, and in their escape, Ezra is captured by Kallus, but Zeb leaves him. Back on board the Ghost, they find out what Zeb has done. They're very annoyed with him, obviously, and they decide that they're going to go and rescue him. Meanwhile, on the Imperial Star Destroyer, Ezra has escaped from his captors and has found out where the actual shipment of Wookiees is going, because he steals a Imperial helmet that has got a transponder on. As the rescue team arrive, Ezra meets up with them without them realizing, you know, you know, they don't know that he's escaped. He bumps into them, they get on the ghost and leave. And Ezra tells them that they need to head to Kessel. So on Kessel, they find this shipment of Wookiees, and as the fighting starts, a little child Wookiee runs away, and as his father is attempting to, you know, kind of rescue him, his father gets shot. Zeb helps the father get on board a shipping container, and Kanan decides that he's going to do a move called the 22 pickup, and essentially, by this point, we realise that Kanan is a Jedi. Ezra has found Kanan's holocron and the lightsaber and stolen the holocron. But he doesn't realise that he's actually a Jedi, he just thinks he's got these trinkets. So what happens is, whilst they're under fire, Kanan jumps out in front of all the blaster fire and starts dodging it. Like, you know, just moving his head, twisting his body. Not Neo Matrix style, but kind of like, just like very, very slightly, just letting the blaster bolts pass him. And as he's walking towards the Imperials, he takes two pieces of his lightsaber, because he keeps them on his belt, in two pieces, screws it together, ignites his lightsaber, swirls it around, and basically prepares to fight. And Kallus yells, "Fire on the Jedi." At this point, Ezra runs after the little kid Wookiee. And is then hunted down by a stormtrooper. Well, the Wookiee runs off, a stormtrooper runs after him, and Ezra runs after the both of them. Ezra manages to disable a stormtrooper by using his weird arm blaster thing. I think he just gives like some hefty electric shocks, but it's not fatal. He ends up being cornered by Kallus after he frees the Wookiee from his handcuffs. And as it's looking a bit too dire, suddenly the ghost arrives. And after picking up the container full of Wookiees, including Zeb and Sabine, so Kanan's on top of the ghost, manages to deflect a few blaster bolts from Kallus and knocks Kallus off of the edge of the walkway, and tells Ezra and the Wookiee to jump. So they jump onto the ghost and get into the ship. Kallus has survived. Kallus is hanging onto a spire underneath the walkway, as so is the stormtrooper. And the stormtrooper asks if it's the first time he's ever encountered a Jedi before, and angrily Kallus kicks him in the head and knocking the stormtrooper off of the spire. So it looks like stormtroopers are expendable. Back on board the ghost, they take the Wookiees to a location where they are transferred to a Wookiee ship, and they take Ezra back to Lothal, and turns out Ezra manages to steal the lightsaber. And as he's leaving the ship, he hands Kanan his holocron, and the holocron has been opened, and a message from Obi-Wan Kenobi has been shown. This is his message from the end of Revenge of the Sith, where he's telling the Jedi to not come back. Kanan, like, finds him in his little spire house thing, and offers him a place to stay and a place to train, because the Force is strong with Ezra. So, after a moment, Ezra decides to join them, Ezra joins them, and they go off on many adventures. So this episode is pretty fun. I really enjoy it. It's a great way to introduce the characters. It's a great way to introduce the universe, like the Rebels universe, to viewers. My favourite moment, and this probably is my favourite moment of the series, is when Kanan ignites his lightsaber in front of Kallus. Mm.
The music's amazing. It's very, it's well shot, and it's a, you know, it's a fun episode. You know, it's like it feels very kiddie, but that's not a bad thing to feel kiddie, because you know it's on Disney XD. It is aimed for kids, but not to a point where everyone can't enjoy it, and I certainly did. It's a great introduction to the characters, like I said, and well worth a watch. So if you haven't watched it, go watch it. If you have, go watch it again, because it is fun. Right, that's it for this episode of Rebels Revisited. I'm your host, John Young, and thank you for listening.
Morning.
Hello, and welcome to Rebels Revisited. And today we're going to take a look at the final episode of Season 1 of Rebels called Fire Across the Galaxy. The Ghost Crew attack an Imperial depot and steal a Imperial transport to make their way to Mustafar. They also go and locate the TIE fighter that Zeb and Ezra stole earlier in Season 1, which has now been painted by Sabine. They head to Mustafar, where they find Tarkin's Star Destroyer. Ezra uses the Force to locate Kanan, and when he does, they send the TIE fighter that's full of EMP detonators into the hangar bay and set off the EMPs, which disables the Star Destroyer momentarily, allowing the Ghost Crew to get on board. So the Zeb, Sabine and Hera distract the Imperials whilst Ezra heads towards the cell block and rescues Kanan. As they're escaping, they encounter the Inquisitor and end up fighting him. Well, Kanan fights him and ends up, they end up in a generator room. Ezra manages to steal Kanan's lightsaber from the Inquisitor because Kanan's using Ezra's. And the two of them fight the Inquisitor, but Ezra is thrown from the walkway, and believing that he's dead, Kanan takes up both his and Ezra's lightsabers and tells the Inquisitor that he made a massive mistake, because now he has nothing to fear. And the two of them duel, and it gets pretty heavy, pretty intense. Hera, Zeb and Sabine have to change their plan, and when Chopper hears this, he sends out a transmission to Fulcrum. Zeb, Sabine and Hera get to the painted TIE fighter and escape the ship, and as Hera wakes Ezra up, because he's actually on the walkway below the one that Kanan and the Inquisitor are dueling on. Ezra wakes up and tells them that he has got Kanan, and that they'll meet them soon. Kanan bests the Inquisitor by destroying his lightsaber, and the shards of his lightsaber land in some pretty heavy equipment. Hello, Lily. Which causes a massive explosion and thus causes a chain reaction, destroying the reactor and thus destroying the Star Destroyer. The Inquisitor falls from the walkway and tells Kanan that what he's done is actually they will have unleashed something much worse than him. And the Inquisitor lets go of the walkway and falls to his death. Kanan watches him go, kneels down, and he hears Ezra's voice coming from behind him. He turns around and sees Ezra's alive, and the two of them leave. Ezra tells Hera that he has Kanan, and that they need to leave, and that Kanan and Ezra will meet them shortly. So Hera, Zeb, and Sabine are in the TIE fighter. They leave the docking bay and are instantly chased by an onslaught of TIE fighters. Kanan and Ezra reach the docking bay and they see the Inquisitor's advanced prototype and take that and join the battle by initially saving the painted TIE by destroying a bunch of other fighters. Soon they become overwhelmed, and Chopper is nowhere to be seen. So whilst everyone's cursing Chopper, they're trying to survive until suddenly Chopper's transport arrives, as well as the Ghost and three rebel blockade runners, which I got a little... I had a moment where they all come out of hyperspace and I'm like, hey, I have one of those, thinking about the LEGO set that you will all be seeing in the Life That LEGO vlogs. So the rebel ships take out the TIE fighters as Tarkin's Star Destroyer explodes, and once Kanan, Ezra, Sabine, Zeb and Hera are all safely docked with the TIE transport that Chopper is piloting, they all jump to hyperspace. The Ghost crew reunites, and the Ghost and the TIE transport are docked with each other. As the Ghost crew reunite, Ezra asks who is piloting the Ghost, so they all go into the Ghost and find a bunch of rebel soldiers. Chopper puts out a hologram of Bail Organa, who basically says thank you to them for what they're doing, and Hera speaks to him, and they ask what they're going to do now, and someone comes down the ladder from one of the guns, I believe, and with a very familiar voice. It's Hera says Fulcrum, and she said, and Fulcrum turns around and says, "No, my name's Ahsoka Tano," and she's joining them because of Ezra, because his message got out to enough people that it's causing a stir. There's hope in the galaxy again, and this first chapter of their mission is over, and they're going to start a new one. And then we cut to credits. This was a really fun and well put together final episode of season one. We get the duel that we've been waiting for between Kanan and the Inquisitor. We get to see them really stick it to the Empire by destroying a Star Destroyer. They rescue Kanan in an incredibly daring escape. And, you know, we are reunited with a fan favourite character. Which I think came as a big shock when people were watching it originally. Now, I had it spoiled for me, so I knew that Ahsoka was back, and that was kind of why I got into Rebels. That's kind of like the thing that pushed me to watch Rebels, because at the time I was doing a rewatch of Clone Wars, and I was really enjoying the Ahsoka character, and I was like, oh, that sounds cool, Ahsoka's in it. So I was very happy to finally get to watch Rebels. I think, you know, the my issues, if I have any issues, it's the in general issue across season one is the animation is very blocky, very clunky, and it just shows the budget that they had. So when you've got the Inquisitor and Kanan dueling, it's not as fast and polished as as we got with Clone Wars in the later seasons. It's clunky. And it gets better as the series progresses, but it just goes to show you kind of like, right, this is what our budget constraints are, this is what we can do. But at the end of the day, it's like you watch the duel between Vader and Obi-Wan in the Death Star, and you know, I don't complain about it. It just isn't, you know, it doesn't mesh with what came chronologically before it, but at the same time, you know, it's not a proper duel. It's but you know, you don't complain about it, and I find a kind of thing, you know, why should I complain about
this not feeling like a duel that, you know, could be a lot more polished. But it's a budget thing. So, you know, it is what it is. It's still enjoyable. The fact that Kanan kind of is able to come out of his shell a little bit when he believes that Ezra has died. You know, he's like, right, I've got nothing to fear. You know, he's. It sounds like he's constantly afraid that something's going to happen to Ezra. Well, once he thinks something has happened to Ezra, he's like, right, no, I don't have to be afraid of losing him now and having to protect him. Now I can, like, go on the offensive. And he really does. And it kind of feels, you know, it's not exactly what a true Jedi would do, but Kanan isn't a true Jedi. He never finished his Jedi training. You know, and I really like the kind of the, that conversation. There's a conversation at the beginning between the Inquisitor and Kanan where the Inquisitor basically goads him, saying that, you know, he's a coward because, you know, he ran when his master, you know, during Order 66, he ran away and left his master to die. Now, I haven't read the comics, but I do know enough about them, the Kanan comics, anyway, that, you know, Depa Balaba told Kanan to run. She basically made him escape so that he could, you know, so she took on so many clone troopers so that he could escape. You know, so, you know, but of course he's probably feeling incredibly guilty for that, and the more he feels, and, you know, the Inquisitor's playing on that. As only a Darksider would do, because Darksiders are bad, bad news. And, I mean, and at the end, now that they've introduced Ahsoka, it's like, okay, so how are they going to pull this one out of the bag? You know, what kind of, and the Inquisitor's turning around and saying, yeah, something worse is going to come for you now. And at the end, you know, you've got Kallus reporting to Tarkin. Then Tarkin arrives back at Lothal and he's like, oh yeah, this has happened and this has happened. There's unrest and people are, you know, thinking the Empire is weak. And Tarkin's like, oh, don't worry, the Emperor has sent new measures to ensure our success. And then you hear the breathing and out comes Vader, and Kallus kind of looks at him and he's like, oh crap. And Vader just walks past following Tarkin. And you just know that next, you, as soon as that kind of happened, you knew what season two was going to have. You knew what was going to happen in season two. You just didn't know when. And I'm not, if you're watching Rebels for the first time, I ain't gonna, I'm not gonna do any spoilers on that one. But, yeah, you just know what's going to happen in season two. So, yeah, all in all, great episode and a brilliant way to end the season. I like the callbacks to previous episodes, so the TIE fighter that that Zeb and Ezra stole makes its return after they told Kanan and Hera that it had been destroyed. And there's a callback to one of the Rebel shorts that came out before the season premiered, which had Sabine going to an Imperial depot and blowing up a bunch of TIE fighters. So there's nice callbacks there. They talk about Mustafar, and they go to Mustafar, so of course that's like kind of the massive, because that's where Vader is based. As we learned in the Charles Soule comics and Rogue One. What else? I don't think there's much else I can say, other than I really enjoy that episode. Definitely one of the high points of the season, and it really, you know, it really sets a tone for what season two, for the basically the beginning of season two, which, as far as I'm concerned,
Siege of Lothal is the best season opener for all of Rebels. Hands down, that's my stance, and I'm going to stand by it. And I really can't wait to rewatch it, because there's so much great in that episode. So I'll be watching that soon, and you'll be hearing that episode next week. So thank you for listening. Thank you for sticking with me on this journey through season one of Rebels. Please, 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 please join me for season two. Thank you for your generous contributions to the blog and podcast. They are greatly appreciated. And I'll see you next week. So, punch it, Chewy.
Hello, and welcome to a very special episode of Rebels Revisited. Why is it special? Because we've finally finished season one and we've started with season two, with Siege of Lothal. I'm your host, Johnny Orr, and let's get talking about Rebels. So, Siege of Lothal, what I've done, rather than review the two individual episodes that you can find on the DVDs, the Blu-rays, and on Disney Life, I have done the 40-minute special version, which puts both episodes together and was aired earlier in the year. I think it was aired like in the August when the season came out, in like September, October time. I've got to say, this is by far my favourite of all of the season premieres that we got from Rebels. There's so much going on in it. It's insane. So it starts off, the Rebels are in the midst of a space battle trying to get supplies. And it's the Ghost, and they end up, you know, being assisted by Phoenix Squadron, and the crew, they all have to leave because the Phoenix leader is going to get kabloomed. So what they do is they have a regroup, they have a conversation, and Chopper comes in with a message. And Kanan's feeling really just not happy about being part of the rebellion at this point. He does not want to join the rebellion. He doesn't want to be a part of an army. He's seen what war does to people. And not just to people, but to the galaxy. And it's a message from old Joe from Lothal. And he's got someone who wants to talk to them. And it's Governor Tua. Because she's essentially been threatened by Vader, who's basically said that if she doesn't, you know, sort it out and crack down on the rebels, that, you know, they can find someone who will. So, and she wants to leave. She wants to escape from the Empire. And she promises to help the rebels by giving them the location, names and locations of rebel sympathizers on Lothal. But these are people who have got powerful friends that the Empire can't touch but are under observation. So, after much debate, the Ghost crew decide that that's what they're going to do. They're going to go and help her. So they hatch a plan. They take their stolen people transport, and Chopper drives, and they go to Lothal, where they're going to rescue her. And it's a trap. Sorry, it's a trap. And the Empire turns up. Kanan manages to steal Stormtrooper armor. Ezra's jealous because all he has is the helmet. And so yeah, they they get to the governor, and she they get her on a ship, and the Empire turns up and blow up the ship, killing her. So the rebels go on the run. They hide in Ezra's old house. And then they figure that if they went to the Imperial center, they could steal a Imperial ship, because all public ship vehicles are grounded, and there's a blockade set up. So they break into the Imperial center with Kanan as a stormtrooper, Ezra dressed as a cadet. Ezra tries using the Jedi mind trick on a stormtrooper, it doesn't work, so Kanan does it. And they are pushing containers, and the containers contain the crew. And they finally get to the landing pad. Everyone gets out. They're about to get onto the ship, and they find portable shield generators that the rebellion could use. So they start to steal them, just as the stormtroopers come out, and they take out the stormtroopers. But then out comes Vader, after Kanan and Ezra feel a really dark presence. Vader comes out and takes on Kanan and Ezra. First, Vader takes down Kanan. He's about to use the Force to have Ezra behead himself. Insane. They manage to distract him. Kanan distracts him. They fight for a little bit. It's not going very well. Sabine and Zeb blow up some ATDPs. And Kanan and Ezra force push Vader into where they will fall. Vader reaches up, and they all fall down on top of him. They get onto the landing craft, they turn around just to see Vader lifting the wreckage off of him, throwing it away, and standing up. So they escape. They manage to escape. Thank God, right? So they meet up back with Phoenix Squadron, and Agent Kallus goes to Vader and says, look, they've gotten away. Well, what they also do, well, they get away and they go, they don't go back to the Phoenix Squadron, sorry. They go to, they try and find somewhere for help, and they go to Lando's farm. Lando isn't there, but his droid is there, and Sabine and the droid mock up some transponder signals that match the landing craft. So when they leave the planet, they set off the transponders, so the Empire is diverted. So they all head towards these different transponders. The TIE fighters take them out one by one, and by the time they realise that it's a, by the time the Empire realises what's going on, it's too late, and the rebels get away. But it's not a problem, as Vader tells Kallus, there's a tracking beacon on that ship. So then they meet up with the, then they meet up with the Phoenix Squadron, and Chopper tells them that there's a tracker, and there's one ship heading towards them, and it's Vader and his TIE fighters. So they launch all the fighters, the Ghost crew get into their ships, and the Ghost crew gets into the Ghost, and they go out there. Vader kicks butt, people. This is probably one of the most amazing Darth Vader sequences ever put down in any sort of Star Wars medium. Like, this is up there with the Rogue One corridor scene. This is there with the, with all of Vader down. Everything that Vader does when he's surrounded by the rebels and he just takes them all out, this is kind of up there with it. If you haven't read Vader Down, I highly recommend it, just to see Vader kicking rebel butt.
So Vader basically takes out, he basically takes out like Phoenix Leader. He what else does he do? Oh yes, yeah, so he takes out Phoenix Leader, so the crew have to evacuate the ship. Once all the ship, once everyone is on board on the escape pods and have been picked up, everyone's going to leave. Ahsoka senses the dark side. Ahsoka, Kanan, and Ezra sense that it's Vader, and Kanan and Ahsoka use the Force to try and like identify him. And Ahsoka passes out because the connection between her and Vader is incredibly strong, and she recognizes that connection to be Anakin Skywalker, but she's not sure. So they escape, and Ahsoka talks to Kanan, Kanan and Ezra. They recognize that it's not an Inquisitor, but a Sith Lord that they've encountered. What's a bit? Ahsoka tells them that everyone's going to be hunting them now. Meanwhile, back on the Star Destroyer, back at Lothal Base, Vader it's on the Star Destroyer, and he tells the tells everyone to leave the bridge, and he talks to Palpatine and tells him that the apprentice of Anakin Skywalker lives. And the Emperor's like, "Are you sure?" And he's like, "Yes, it's her." And the Emperor tells him to dispatch an Inquisitor to hunt them down. So yeah, that's the Siege of Lothal. I've got to say, like, the Siege of Lothal, like I've said, is my favourite season premiere from Rebels. It's so much fun. It's a great episode. It's got so much going on. Vader, you know, we see him at the end of season one as he walks past Kallus, but you know, we really see, this is like Vader in his prime again. It's like you know, we see him in Rogue One, we see him in Vader Down, and like, well, yeah, in Vader Down, I mean, that's Vader in prime mode. You know, this is the Vader that everyone kind of assumed existed, but we never got to see, because the story didn't dictate for it. But now we see it, now we get it. It's amazing. Like everyone kind of joked that Anakin Skywalker is a great pilot, but he can't land. You know, because we see his piloting skills in all the films of the prequels, and you know, in the Clone Wars, and like, but we see it again here. Him in a TIE fighter, he is taking Rebels out left and right. Half of Phoenix Squadron are decimated. Phoenix Home is destroyed. You know, it's not the same as, but it's an equivalent of a Corellian Corvette or Blockade Runner. You know, and Vader takes it out in his very own TIE fighter. Some of the imagery in this episode is fantastic. At one point during the fight between Vader and Kanan, we see, because I know they were inspired heavily by Ralph McQuarrie, but they actually almost replicate one of Ralph McQuarrie's original pieces. Where it's Vader fighting a rebel fighting someone with a lightsaber, and they replicate that perfectly with Vader fighting Kanan, and I was watching it,
And I think it was like the first time I watched it, and I was like, wait a minute. So I kind of Googled and found that picture. And I'm like, oh my God, they did that. That's insane. That's amazing. You know, the character arcs, like we saw some really good character arcs in season one, and like the beginning of Kanan's arc in this, where he doesn't want to be a rebel. He doesn't want to be a hero. He says to Hera that, you know, back when it was just the two of them, when they first got together, it was rob from the Empire, give to the needy. And now he feels like he's in a war. And I completely get why he doesn't want to be in a war. I mean, he survived the Clone Wars. Clone Wars was devastating on the entire galaxy. Why would he want to sign up again? You know, no one would. It would just be an insanity that he did. And, you know, even though he owes them his life. I feel like, you know, this is like I said, it's my favorite, but it's the strongest season opener as well. I mean, Spark of Rebellion has the issue that, you know, it's got to introduce the characters. It's got to kind of set everything up. So even as good as Spark of Rebellion is, it has a lot of work to do. Whereas, you know, the season premiere for season two, they can dive straight in, and that's what they do. I'm not going to hash out the seasons three and four ones because we're not there yet. Yes, I've done a few spoilers in the show, but I'm not going to quite go there just yet because I haven't watched them for a while. But I can still stand by it's my favourite one. I'm sorry, I completely lost my point there. Anyway, that's going to be it for Siege of Lothal. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your continued contributions. It's greatly appreciated. And can't wait to get like heavily into season two, because season two is just so good. But yeah, that's it. So thank you once again, and punch it, Chewy. Hello and welcome to Rebels Revisited. I'm your host, Johnny Orme, and today we're taking a look at yet another fantastic episode. This one called The Shroud of Darkness. In this episode, after having yet another close call with the fifth brother and seventh sister, Kanan and Ezra go to Ahsoka for help. Ahsoka tells them that, you know, at times like this, back in the Clone Wars, she would turn to Anakin or Obi-Wan or even Master Yoda. And Kanan says, well, why don't we talk to Master Yoda? So they make the decision to go back to Lothal, to the Jedi Temple there, to try and communicate with the great Jedi Master. On Lothal, Ahsoka tells Kanan and Ezra she's unable to help lift the temple because she's no longer a Jedi. So Kanan and Ezra lift it up, and it goes higher and higher than it did before. And when they enter, they come to a small room where it's basically like a dead end, and the three of them kneel down to meditate. Kanan's the first one to see a doorway that appears before them that no one else can see, and he walks through it and essentially just disappears. And he ends up in a training dojo with one of the Jedi Temple guards, who tells him that his apprentice is destined to turn to the dark side. So Kanan activates his lightsaber as the Jedi Temple guard tells him to stand aside so that they can do what must be done for the Jedi Order. He battles with the temple guard, who basically starts to best him because he's using a double-ended lightsaber, and Kanan's on his own. So Kanan uses a lightsaber that was hung on the wall. But before he can get the upper hand, two more temple guards appear. Back in the little room, Ezra and Ahsoka are talking about Yoda, and Ezra is telling Ahsoka that Kanan described him once, and as Ezra is talking about him, he vanishes, leaving Ahsoka on her own. Ezra wakes up essentially in a room filled with stars, and he's sat on a floating disc, and in front of him is Yoda, who's sat on a log. And Ezra is asking, how can they defeat the Sith? How can they win the fight? And Yoda's saying, you know, do you have to fight? Is there another way? And Ezra's like, well, yes, we have to fight. And if it comes to it, you know, I will fight to protect my friends. And Yoda comes from it as very an old school Jedi. You know, the kind of the way, like, he's thinking, you know, no attachments, do we have to be involved? And Ezra's like, we are involved, you know, this is our fight as well as everyone else's. And Ahsoka, she sees a vision of Anakin Skywalker, who's like, you know, look what happened to me, why did you leave? This is what happened because you left. And she sees the vision of Anakin become a vision of Darth Vader. Meanwhile, fifth brother and seventh sister have found them, and they land on Lothal, and they activate the temple. They raise the temple, which causes it to start to, it's like basically causing earthquakes within the temple. Kanan, in his fight, he loses his fight, and he basically says, look, I've done everything I can do, and I will do everything I can to make sure that that Ezra doesn't turn to the dark side, but his path is his path. And he believes that the Inquisitor is about to strike him down. Instead, he knights him. In the name of the Jedi Order, he grants Kanan the rank of Jedi Knight. As the temple starts coming down around them, Yoda tells Ezra to go to Moriband. Ezra and Kanan return to the sort of room with Ahsoka, and they start to run away, and they run down a hallway, and suddenly Ahsoka stops and turns around and sees Master Yoda, who waves at her, and then she leaves. And as they leave the temple, Chopper arrives with the Phantom, and they fly away. And Ezra tells them that Yoda told them to go to Moriband. This episode, Force Stuff. I love the Force Stuff. Force Stuff is so good. So, first off, like, Kanan has essentially had to go to confront his fear. And that's what kind of has been holding Kanan back from. And you know, the fact that he's not been a Jedi Knight, the fact that he was essentially a Padawan when Order 66 happened, you know, it's kind of held him back. And I think having this happen, you know, it's like it's something that kind of helps push him forward. Ezra's communication with Yoda, I mean, you can tell Ezra's just incredibly frustrated by it. But he's also learning what it was like to be an old school Jedi. you know. But the important thing is Yoda admits to being afraid. You know, that was why the Jedi failed. He was afraid, the Jedi were afraid, fear was rife. And that was what destroyed the Jedi from within. And Ahsoka learning the truth through her vision that Anakin became Darth Vader, you know, she's been trying to find out, and this was where it finally comes to pass that she sees it. And, you know, I think, you know, she learns it, she knows it, but she doesn't want to believe it at this point. Which is completely understandable. The opening battle between Ezra Kanan and the Inquisitors is just fantastic. It was like, it just an amazing kind of opening. You know, we get to see how well-oiled a unit Kanan and Ezra are with their fighting, and you just get to see, you know, how well they work together. That's what I was trying to say. Words escaping me. But you see why they're afraid. You know, everywhere they go, the Inquisitors show up. It means that they can't have a base. They can't find out where to go. They can't figure out what they can do. Which, you know, doesn't help the rebels, essentially, which, you know, is tough for them. And let's, what else? The very end when Ahsoka sees Yoda. This is probably one of my favourite parts of the episode, totally. Yoda, when she turns around and sees Yoda, and Yoda waves at her, it is so reminiscent of the end of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, where the Guardian, the Knight, sees Indy and his dad and waves to them as they leave the crumbling temple. And it was, you know, I mean, if anyone's gonna do Indiana Jones, Star Wars can do it because they do it so well. But yeah, no, it was a really fun little moment. This is, you know, I love the Honourable Ones. I would love this one. I don't want to say it feels like they're really ramping it up at the end of the season, because they're not. This second season is so full of amazing episodes. But it's kind of that point of the season, where everything is happening and it's all building up towards the end. And so, you know, it feels like everything's ramping up, whereas really, actually, it's just the story is getting to that point where, you know, it's building towards the conclusion, and they're just doing, it's just so well done, so fantastic. I absolutely love it. So yeah, there we go. I'm gonna put an end to this episode now. I just want to say thank you for your continued contributions and support. It all means so very much to me. And it all goes towards stuff for the blog and the podcast to write about and talk about. So yeah, it's all great. It's all fantastic. So yeah, once again, thank you. And punch it, Chewy. Hello and welcome to Rebels Revisited. I'm your host, Johnny Orman. Today we are looking at Twilight of the Apprentice, the season 2 finale. And what a finale it is. So on their way to Moriband. Is it Moriband? Or Malachor? No, it's Malachor, that's it. On the way to Malachor, there's too many Sith worlds that begin with M. Don't you think? Anyway, so on their way to Malachor, Rex and Ahsoka are talking, and she's telling him that as soon as they exit hyperspace, they're going to be incommunicado. So, Rex is like, look, I can be there in like two rotations. And she's like, no, don't worry, we'll be all right. So they come out of hyperspace and they approach the planet, and Chopper tells them that there's a ship on the planet. He's tracing a ship on the planet. So Kanan's like, right, get us as close as possible. So they get as close as possible to the ship, but they have to land on, they land on the surface, and they approach some spires sticking out of the ground, which are covered in ancient writing. Ahsoka's trying to read it, and Ezra feels drawn to touching a specific part of one of these spires, and when he does, the ground cracks open and they all fall through. And they land in this underground cavern, essentially, and they're on like this outcropping, and they look down and you can see like this whole kind of, it looks like a settlement all gathered around in front of this massive pyramid-like temple. And so they head towards the temple, and as they go through like these ruins, they see just loads of bodies, but they're all, it looks like they've just been like burned in place, just kind of grim. And Ezra picks up a lightsaber and he activates it, and it's a crossguard lightsaber, and it's green, so ooh, Kylo Ren connection there. So as they are searching, someone is following them, and that someone attacks. It turns out to be an Inquisitor. And it's the eighth brother. So he fights the three of them. Ezra falls into a cavern. Another cavern. Oh, yeah. And he's like, look, you guys go ahead. I'll catch up with you. Kanan and Ahsoka basically hunt down this, the eighth brother. And underground, Ezra's like, well, how am I going to find them? And he hears a voice saying, I can help you. And he turns around and he sees this decrepit old man with a walking stick. And he starts talking to Ezra, saying that he knows a way into a temple. If he goes with him, they'll be able to get to his friends. And Ezra's like, well, yeah, we need to get to the temple as well. That's what we're trying to do. And he's like, yeah, you seek knowledge. And Ezra's kind of wary of him. And he's like, yeah, but who are you? And how do you, like, and he, the old man is talking about the Sith. And Ezra's like, are you a Sith? He's like, no. The Sith took everything from me. They stole me from my mother, turned me into a weapon. I broke free and cast me aside, and I was beaten, tortured, they killed my mother, they killed my brother. Yeah, he basically draws out this long list of reasons why he's not a Sith. And Ezra kind of goes with it. Ezra like, it's like, okay, cool. So they go to the temple and they reach this door, and he says, the old man says, look, it takes two of us to do this. He also tells Ezra to call him Old Master. So to open to get into the temple, it needs two people, and there's like different doors. So it's like separate doors. It's like a corridor of giant blocks that act as doors. So Ezra is the first one to go in. Old Master lifts the second one, and they go under that one, dropping the first, so on and so forth, until they are into the temple. And Old Master takes Ezra and they find a Sith holocron. Ezra takes a Sith holocron from where it's being held, and basically it starts raising this podium into this weird kind of light ball thing, and Ezra's like, Old Master is telling him to jump, and Ezra's like, I can't, and in the end Ezra does, and Old Master catches him using the Force and lifts him up, and in a moment you think he's going to let him drop, but just take the holocron, but in the end he does save Ezra. And they're walking through the temple. Meanwhile, Kanan and Ahsoka are fighting the Eighth Brother. They manage to defeat him and bind his hands, and they start walking towards the temple. And from the outside, they see, you know, when Ezra takes the holocron, it activates something, and things start to move, and it's all a bit, oh, look, something's happening. And Kanan's like, oh, I bet Ezra's got something to do with that. But once when they get to the the reason they were able to capture the Eighth Brother is because Chopper actually locates the ship, and it's a TIE Advanced prototype that the Grand Inquisitor and the Fifth Brother and Seventh Sister use. And Chopper gets into it and manages to blast the Eighth Brother, which like kind of knocks him down, and they capture him, and they go to the temple. At the temple, Chopper says something, and they're like, okay, we've got company. And as they say it, the Fifth Brother and Seventh Sister fly in with their helicopter sabers. Oh, these beautiful additions. their spinning lightsabers become helicopter blades. If anything, it's the worst thing about these episodes. And honestly, I love these episodes, so we're all right. Ahsoka and Kanan fight Fifth and Seventh, but Fifth frees Eighth, who uses the Force to get his lightsaber from Kanan's belt. So it's like 3-on-2. Ezra and Old Master appear. Ezra ignites his lightsaber, and Old Master's like, oh, this is such fun. And the Inquisitor's like, oh god, it's the Shadow. And he's like, and it's like, and Seven Sisters, Darth Maul. And he goes, oh, formerly Darth, now just Maul. And it's like this standoff between the Kanan, Ezra, and Ahsoka, and the three Inquisitors, with Maul stood in the doorway in the middle. And that's when the episode ends. This is such a good episode. Like, I'm gonna go into like part one and try not to go into part two just yet. Of this double episode, I mean, come on. It's like, this really kind of set everything up for the finale. What it really gives you, this is the build up. This is the story part of this two-parter. It sets up so much. Like, you've got the Maul and Ezra relationship. You've got Kanan and Hera working together. You've put the Inquisitors in place. Chopper's basically we know what Chopper's place in this all is. It's, I'm going to tell you when people are turning up. It's everyone's in place. The pieces are on the board. And now it kind of, it's like, right, okay, so this is where we're at, and this is what's going to happen. And you guys, oh yes, you guys, enjoying, you know, the status quo, are going to really get messed up in the next episode, because you just know it's not just going to be down to the Inquisitors. Like, the Inquisitors are, at this point, cannon fodder. Which I think everyone can agree with. And just the way that they've kind of placed everything, everyone's ready, everyone's sorted, and the fact we've got Maul, it's just nuts. I love the fact we've got Maul back as well. It's like, you know, it's like every time you think this guy's gone, there he is. Now, at this point, the last I'd seen of him, of course, was in Clone Wars, season 5? No, season 4, that was it. No, season 5. Was it season 5 where he tortures Kenobi? I think so, yeah. Well, yes, it is, sorry. So yeah, the last you see of him is when he gets beaten by Sidious and taken away. Now, I knew that there was something in between, because we've got the Son of Dathomir graphic novel, of course. But the, you know, I hadn't read that at this point, because it was really tough to get. So, you know, I kind of was like, right, okay. So something happens in there, probably to do with Mandalore again, but, you know, we didn't know. So then there he is on Malachor. He's been there a while. He says his ship crashed, and he's been there for a long time. Now, I have my theories on this. I would love to see more of it. I mean, there's something about what we got in in that film Solo, where, you know, Maul is there. Maul is in Solo. And you know, so we get to learn what's going on. And, you know, I think we all want to learn more what's going on with Maul. I have my theories and I might go into them later. But not right now. So yeah, having Maul back was just nuts. Having Ezra and Maul work together, insane. And it kind of makes you wonder, because what's going to happen? Because Maul seems to be having an influence on him, which is slightly terrifying, don't you think? So, yeah, like, we don't know what... I mean, at this point, if we've already seen it, we all know what's going to happen in the next episode, and of course, the next episode just takes what we built, what we learned in the... Well, takes this episode and just, you know, wipes the floor with it, which, you know, fair enough. Going to happen on a two-part finale, but yeah, it's this episode is just it's a really good setup episode. There's nothing about it that's bad, you know. There's just some stuff in it that's just, oh really, Ellie Sabers, but it's an interesting addition to the Star Wars lore, and who's going to complain about new additions to the Star Wars lore? Yeah, people on the internet. I'm going to jump into episode 2 in just a second. So, there we go. So in episode 2, it starts out exactly where episode 1 finishes. Maul enters the fight. He throws away his walking stick after taking out the lightsaber that was part of the stick. Gets rid of the stick part of it, ignites his double lightsaber and joins the battle. Um, they manage to push back the Inquisitors and the Kanan, Ezra and Ahsoka debate whether or not they should go with Maul and work with Maul. Ezra vouches for him. Kanan is really not sure, and there's a little bit of banter between Ahsoka and Maul. He calls her Lady Tano, and you know, you get that there's a history there. Now, granted, at this point, it's like editor's note. At this point, they had never met in the Clone Wars, so. You know, we're basically learning that there was a story. There's a story that we haven't seen. So they go up. They climb. They go up the temple by using lifts. But you can only take two people on each lift. Maul tries to go on with Ezra, but Kanan basically is like, "Nope, we go as a pair." And Ahsoka and Maul go to the top. Together. When they reach the top, Kanan and Ezra encounter an Inquisitor. Maul and Ahsoka join the battle. They split up again, this time Kanan with Kanan's with Ahsoka and Ezra's with Maul, and Maul uses the Force to strangle the Seventh Sister and basically goads Ezra into killing her, but Ezra doesn't. He hesitates and Maul kills her himself. Then they hear the sounds of lightsabers clashing, and Maul tells Ezra to go on ahead and put the holocron into the temple, like plug the holocron into a specific part of the temple. Ezra goes off on his own. Maul goes to join Kanan and Ahsoka in battling the Eighth Brother and the Fifth Brother. They manage to kill the Fifth Brother and damage the Eighth Brother's lightsaber. And as he tries to use it as a helicopter saber to escape, it shatters and he falls to his death. Kanan's like, right, what have you done with Ezra? And Maul's like, oh, my apprentice, and attacks Kanan, but he manages to deflect the attack, but it comes at a price, and Kanan is blinded. Ahsoka and Maul battle briefly, whilst Kanan grabs like a fallen mask from a Jedi from the battle from thousands of years ago, and stands up using the Force. He's able to sense what's going on. Ahsoka leaps away from Maul, and Maul's like, running away again, Lady Tardo, and she's like, if you want to catch me, you're gonna have to go through him. And Kanan and Maul battle. And Kanan actually beats Maul and kicks him off the side of the temple. Ezra has reached this the monolith inside the temple and plugs the holocron in, and that's when he learns from the temple itself, which sounds incredibly like a Asajj Ventress. He learns from the temple that it's actually a weapon that can destroy his enemies. And as Ezra's like, no, I'm not going to do that. Meanwhile, Kanan gets a message from Chopper saying there's another TIE fighter coming in. The temple says to Ezra that if he won't do it, maybe the one who approaches will. And Ezra turns and finds the door, goes to the door, it's like, Maul. And then he looks up and sees Vader's TIE fighter floating down with Darth Vader stood on top of it. Now, I just want to point out, this is an incredibly, like, metal moment. Vader, essentially riding his TIE fighter with his lightsaber drawn. Pretty epic. Vader jumps down and begins to battle Ezra. And Ezra's like, you know, Vader's like, you know, how did you manage to unlock the secrets of the temple? And Ezra's like, trying to like banter at him, like, he's like, hey, you're a smart guy, you figure it out. And Vader's saying very Vader-y lines, and Ezra's like, you know, Ezra tells him that he's not afraid of him. Vader's like, well, you will die braver than most. And he manages, Vader destroys Ezra's lightsaber. And as Vader's about to make the killing stroke, you know, he's like, right, you know, I was wrong about you. You know, maybe you are weak, I was wrong. And then you hear Ahsoka say, it's not the first time, and she jumps in and battles Vader. And the two of them fight. Kanan arrives with Chopper, and Ezra leads him to the holocron, and the two of them need to take the holocron from the temple. And they reach in and try and pull this holocron out, and basically, they manage to pull the holocron out, but it starts to destroy the temple. So with the temple coming down around them, Kane and Ezra make their way to Chopper and the Phantom, as Vader and Ahsoka fight. Vader manages to push Ahsoka back, and she's seemingly defeated for a second, which is long enough for him to turn and focus on Kanan and Ezra again. And he attempts to use the Force to pull the holocron from Ezra. Ezra and Kanan manage to hold him back long enough for Ahsoka to attack him to return. Sorry, a bit noisy. Ahsoka basically comes up behind Vader. He turns just in time for her to basically leap on him and slash him. She cuts open his mask, but the distraction distracts him for long enough to get Kane and Ezra onto the ship. Ezra attempts to get Ahsoka to come with them, but she uses the Force to push him back as the doors around the temple come down, and it locks her and Vader in. Vader stands up, and you can see his face, and she hears Anakin's voice saying, Ahsoka. You know, why did you leave me? Look what happened. And she's like, I won't leave you again. And then Anakin Vader says, you will die. It's so beautifully done, because it starts out in Matt Lanter's voice, and it just morphs bit by bit, just by adding James Earl Jones's voice into the mix. And so by the time he says, you will die, it's you know, James Earl Jones, and they fight again. As the Phantom takes off, the fight is pretty. They begin to fight, and the Phantom takes off. Kane and Ezra are in the ship. Ezra is very upset, and the ship. They return to Athlon, and as they get off, the Ghost Crew and the Phoenix Squadron gather around to see Ezra and Kanan come off the ship, and Rex stands there and sees that Ahsoka didn't come back, and Ezra just looks at him, and you can just see how brokenhearted they both are. Back on Malachor, one of the TIE Advanced prototypes flies away, it's being flown by Maul, and Vader walks away from the wreckage of the temple. Well, he walks away from the temple, it's not wrecked. But he's a wreck. He's wheezing and, you know, broken. But above him, on the, on a ledge, you see the convoy that follows Ahsoka around. So at the end, the Phoenix Fleet Squad, the Ghost Crew, they feel a bit broken. Everyone's kind of wanting to be alone. Vader manages to leave. And it looks like Ahsoka is alive and walking into the temple on Malachor. And back in his cabin on the Ghost, Ezra is sat holding the Sith holocron. And it starts to glow in his hand and it begins to open. Oh my god, that episode. Like, as I was saying earlier, at the first part really builds it up, and then, you know, this episode just hits you like a 1-2-3 punching barrage, just in the feels, in the excitement, and all of it. So really the showcase of this episode is the Vader-Ahsoka fight, and it's so well done. The music, Kevin Kiner just knocks it out the park. The music is fantastic. I've got the Rebels season 2 soundtrack, and I swear down, from the music from where Kanan is blinded to the end of that CD or that album, it's like a tour de force in Star Wars music. It's quite possibly some of my favourite Star Wars music that John Williams hasn't scored. And now, don't get me wrong, I love the Solo and Rogue One soundtracks. I love them. But Kevin Kiner just, he doesn't knock it out the park, he knocks it out the frickin' state. That is how good this music is. And it just gets you in the feels. The final track where everyone is basically beaten is possibly some of the most moving music I have heard. It gets me. It hits me in the feels. The only reason I didn't cry at it today when I watched it was because I was at work on my lunch and I didn't want to like be sat there crying in my office right before going back to work after my half hour break. The pairing off of like Maul and Ezra again, it just is, it's seeping into Ezra. You're starting to see Maul's having an influence. And Maul knows this because he starts calling him his apprentice. Kanan being blinded, the repercussions from this are staggering. This is it. You know, Kanan is now blind. He is a blind Jedi. Now, part of me wonders if this was like a precursor to Rogue One, because we had the blind character in Chirrut. Part of me wonders if there was some sort of, we're going to test the waters with this and see how people react. I kind of feel like they do this with the animated series sometimes, in testing the waters of like, are people all kind of preparing us for these things? I mean, if you look in The Mandalorian, like, in the episode 7 of The Mandalorian, they have the child force heal Greef Karga. And guess what? That same night, we see Rey, well, I saw Rey, force healing the weird snake creature, and then Kylo Ren. You know, they do these things by having it, they kind of either test the waters or, you know, get like prepare the fans for this could be a big, you know, they do these big changes in the series to kind of prepare everyone for something changing in the films. I mean, we also get in season 3 of Rebels, Kanan being put out an airlock into space, and he manages to get in back into the facility that he was ejected from. So, and that came out before Rise of Skywalker as well. Not Rise of Skywalker, before The Last Jedi as well. So, you know, I do have precedent for this theory. But anyway, the Vader-Ahsoka fight, you know, that's what we all came for in this episode. And they deliver in spades. It's incredible, you know. This is the point where we thought she was going to die. Okay, because, you know, we don't know, you know, at that point we have no idea what she's doing. And for all intents and purposes, you know, up until that moment, that little tiny, teeny moment where you see her outline in that doorway, you know, you do think she's gone. You think she's, you know, you think Vader's won that battle. And, you know, there we go. Of course, later on, spoilers, season 4, we find, you know, we get some info on that. But anyway, it's a like the moment where she cuts his mask off, well, chunk of his mask off, and she's like, and you see Anakin under there with an eyebrow. Why has he got an eyebrow? But we see Anakin under the mask, and he sees Ahsoka, and you know, he's gone. Like, you can see how dark, you know, the eyes are there, the Sith eyes. He's like, he's at this point, Vader is like full on evil Sith master, well, Sith lord. And you know, is that Anakin coming through, or is that just a ploy to lower her defences for Vader to, you know, take a killing swipe? I don't know. But, you know, I like to think maybe she got through to him a little in that moment. Like, him seeing her with his own eye, as opposed to through the mask. But, yeah. It's an intense fight. And you also kind of see Vader moving like he does in A New Hope, which I think was good. But then that kind of gets nullified with Rogue One, where he's doing all of his flashy stuff. So, yeah, you just don't know, really. But I really enjoyed it. I kind of felt like that battle kind of, it was everything we wanted it to be. And like I said, they delivered it in spades. And what I found out, because when I went to the 2016 celebration in London, they had an Ahsoka Lives panel, and there were slides that Pablo Hidalgo showed of artwork by Dave Filoni, which he had put on a whiteboard in a conference room. And Pablo Hidalgo took pictures of it from every angle, and it's images of the actual images of the Anakin Ahsoka fight that Filoni drew on this whiteboard, you know, coloured in and everything, and they had to clean it off because they were about to have, like, because they needed that, they were using that room for a story meeting or something for the Rise of for The Last Jedi. And it was like, yeah, we had Rian Johnson coming in, we had to wipe that off. But you can see those in the YouTube video of that panel, because I'm pretty sure it's online. That was a great panel to kind of go to, you know, in the months after The Twilight of the Apprentice. So yeah, it was definitely worth a watch if you've got the time. So that's going to be it for this episode. You know, we've gone on nearly 40 minutes, done quite a good job, I think, at talking about this two-parter. Unfortunately, I feel like I've set a precedent for future season finales. Yikes. So, before I go, I just want to thank you all for your continued contributions to the blog and podcast. It's greatly appreciated. Goes towards things to write and talk about for the blog and pod. It will in the future go towards some new equipment as well. I've got my eye on some stuff that I want to get pre-celebration at least, and you know, it means a lot to me that you guys want to support this, the blog and pod. So thank you very much. And punch it chewy.
And there we have it, folks. Yes. Rebels Revisited comes to an end with essential episodes about Ahsoka and Thrawn and the Ghost Crew. I don't think we could have summed it up quite as well as we did. But before I go, I would just like to hit you up with the business one more time, just as a wonderful, dedicated reminder of where you can find My Star Wars Line Dead all across the internet. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/LifeDeadBlogPod. Follow me on Twitter at BloodyOrme, BloodyOrme. You can find me on Instagram, instagram.com/MyStarWasLifeDead. And head on over to Threads, where it is at MyStarWasLifeDead@threads.com, I think. And if you'd like to email the podcast, you can do so. Or send us a voicemail through to lifedebtpodcast@outlook.com. And if you are feeling generous, please head on over to ko-fi.com/MyStarWarsLifeDebt. That's ko-fi.com/MyStarWarsLifeDebt, where you can donate to the Life Debt blog and podcast, and also pick up some digital, some bonus episodes from the store. ko-fi.com/MyStarWarsLifeDebt. Or if you would like to get the bonus pods and ad-free podcast episodes, ad-free blog posts, guaranteed email reads on the podcast, and more. Let me just check it out. and more. And your name on the supporters page. I knew it. Get your name on the supporters page and bonus podcasts, the Life Debt Holiday Special, aka The Breaking of a Fan, and Yub Nubbin, a Life Debt podcaster, both seasoned of that ad-free podcast episodes and ad-free blog posts, as I have already said. But that is patreon.com/MyStarWarsLifeDebt. So without further ado, thank you for listening, and I'll be back next week with regular schedule content. Punch it chewy. Bye.
I have quadriplegic cerebral palsy, and Johnny is one of my carers. Please help me and sign up to bitrom.com/MyStarWarsLifeDebt so he can stop talking about Star Wars to me. It would mean a lot to me. Thank you.